like to ask for your prayers today, and I'd like to direct your attention
to the fourth chapter of 1 John, if you would like to read along with me today. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, and let's begin reading with verse 7. The Apostle John wrote and said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." And that's finishing the fourth chapter of 1 John for a scripture reading. Now, there's one verse in here that I want to clarify before I begin. In verse 15, it says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." And I want to say this, that verse is, you know, by many religious people in the world today, that verse is it's improperly believed, because he was not talking about just a vocal confession here. He was not just talking about a mental confession and just someone standing up and saying, "Well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." That's not the type of confession. I believe John explained the type of confession that he was talking about in verse 13 when he said, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." If you can confess that, then you know the Lord Jesus. And that's what he was talking about. If you can confess to this spiritual relationship with him through the new birth, then those people that can make that type of confession, then God dwells in them and they dwell in God, if he has given us of his Spirit. And so I want to talk to you today about the love of God. I know that this subject is not anything that you've never heard before, but I certainly believe that it is something that we don't need to let ourselves forget about. How much that God loved us, and what that love prompted him to do for us. And this is the thought that the Lord has placed upon my heart for this service here this morning. And I ask an interest in your prayers. When I was studying this, I thought about some of the songs that have been written through the years about the love of God, and actually thought about several of them, but there was a couple of things in these songs that came to my mind, and some of the words are, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky with parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And now it would be harder for me to imagine anybody having written a song trying to describe the love of God any better than that. If the ocean was just filled with ink, and if everywhere you turned on earth there was a quill to dip it in that ink and write with, and the whole sky before you was a parchment to write on, we would drain the ocean dry of ink before we could ever really explain the love of God. And the Bible teaches us and tells us that it's something that really it passes knowledge. And there's another song that I believe Brother Ronnie perhaps sings this here from time to time. Love is Why. And in that song, it says, sin stained the cross with the blood of my Lord, yet he permitted it without a word. Why, tell me why, he redeemed you and me. Somebody want to explain that to me this morning? Why that God did what he did? Why did he redeem you and I? Love is why you and I are free. And all that I can tell you today is that love is why that we, those of us today that have been set free from the bondage of sin, those of us that have been saved today by God's grace, we are set free because of the love of the Lord. That I can tell you, I know that that is the reason the scriptures teach us that very thing, but I cannot explain to anyone why that he loved us. That's the part that passes our understanding, because certainly we cannot find anything in ourselves that would merit his great love. We just, we are just completely unworthy of the love of God, and so we cannot... with reason, we cannot say, well, this is why that God loved me or loved us the way that he does. That's something we just can't explain. But what we do know is that he loved us, and because of that, we can have salvation. And I want you to know today, if you're here and you're lost, that the Lord loves you. He loves you. His love for you was strong enough to cause him to willingly go to the cross and die for your sins. And he wants to save you today. The Lord wants to save you. I hope that if you're here today and you're lost, I hope that you will believe that. That the Lord not only is able to save you today, and the Bible certainly tells us that he is. In Hebrews 7 and 25, it tells us that he is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And I certainly hope today, lost friend, that you will believe that God is able to save you today, but not only that he is able today, but that he desires to save you today, that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that he would have all men to be saved, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And if you die lost and in your sin, for whatever the reason that you reject him, if you reject him because you're hearing something that's different than perhaps what you grew up hearing, perhaps you are involved in some type of religious belief where they believe that salvation comes some other way other than through repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, or perhaps you're just simply rejecting the wooing of the Holy Spirit, whatever the reason is, I want you to know that if you continue in your sins and you die lost and without the Lord and you spend an eternity in hell, that you will do that, despite the love of God for you. Because He loves you. He loves you today. And He wants to save you. John told us that God is love. And He is. He is love. The Bible tells us in perhaps what we might consider the pivotal point of all Scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16, I bet probably most of you here today could quote it. If you can't, you should be able to. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God, what? What was it that caused Him to give His only begotten Son? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I'm telling you today, folks, as I stand before you, that the very moment that man transgressed the holy law of God, the very moment that Adam disobeyed God and transgressed the law that God had given him there in the garden, had it not been for the fact that God loved man, none of us today would have any hope of eternal life. It's based upon God's love. I know that we sing Amazing Grace, and the Bible tells me that we are saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe in salvation by grace. In fact, I believe in salvation by grace wholly, completely. I don't believe in salvation partly by grace and partly by works. I believe that it's completely by God's grace, by His unmerited or undeserved favor towards us, that we are saved. But let me tell you something. If it were not for the love of God, you would never experience the grace of God. You would never know the grace of God if it were not for the love of God. And the second chapter of Ephesians tells us that very thing. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, after that Paul had wrote to the Ephesians and told them, reminded them of what they had been in times past when they were lost, he said, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy," listen, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." What do we find in those verses? There in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. What do we find there? We find that the great love of God preceded the grace of God upon us. And it does. "For His great love wherewith He loved us." And then we are told that it's by grace that we are saved. You know, I wish you in this life, I want you to know something today. In this life, I hope, you know, it's my prayer that you enjoy, that you truly enjoy your life. And I'm not talking about enjoyment the way that the world looks at enjoyment. The world today, many people in the world, they look at things today being enjoyment that really they're of the devil. I mean, they're of the devil. They're of the wicked one. And people get, you know, they get plastered out of their mind on alcohol. They get blown away on drugs. And they do all of these things that make the flesh feel good. And they feel like they're really living it up. And they're really living the good life. And, you know, we've seen the advertisements throughout the years in our society, how that, you know, they advertise liquor all the time as something that'll really, you know, help you enjoy the good life. And boy, this is smooth and you ought to have some of this. And there's a lot of people in the world today that they're satisfying the flesh and they think that they're living it up and they're living life to its fullest and they're living the good life. But I'm going to tell you something today. I wish all of you the very best in life. But I want you to know this today, if you miss out on knowing the love of the Lord, then your life was wasted. Amen. When I was 18 years old, calling out to God late one night, He saved me and He bestowed His great love upon me. And to know the love of Christ is not like anything else in the world. I mean, there's just nothing else that compares to it. It passes knowledge. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said about it in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. He spoke about the fact that it passes knowledge. Listen. Paul spoke in that verse. You can turn there and you can read it. Ephesians 3:19. Paul spoke in that verse there of knowing the love of Christ. Knowing the love of Christ. I want you to know the love of Christ. I want you to understand, lost friend, today. I don't want there being to be any misunderstanding today as to what I'm trying to tell you. I want you to know that it's my desire today. I believe it's the desire of this church today. But most importantly, it's the desire of God Almighty today that you know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. I don't want you today to just know what I'm trying to tell you in a sermon. I don't want you today to just know the fact, the scriptural fact, that the Bible tells us that God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. Yes, that's wonderful knowledge, and that's certainly comforting to know, but I want you today to experience the love of Christ. I believe that's what Paul was writing about. He wasn't talking about knowing about the love of Christ. He wasn't talking about the facts. He was talking about knowing the Lord in his heart, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. There's a lot of people, listen, there's a lot of religious people in the world today that could tell you that they know that God loved the world enough that He gave His only begotten Son, and yet they don't know the love of Christ. I'm glad that I know the love of Christ. Well, how can you know that? Well, the Bible tells me in in Romans chapter 5 that when God saves us, that He makes that possible. He makes it possible for us to know. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8, it tells us that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in the fifth verse of that chapter, it tells us, and I believe, friends, listen, I'm convinced that this happens to every person that is saved by God's grace. This takes place in the heart of every person that truly experiences salvation by the new birth. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And that is how we come to know the love of Christ, when we repent of our sins toward God and we place all of our trust in Him for the salvation of our soul, and God speaks that peace to our soul when we have repented to His satisfaction and trusted Him to His satisfaction. God speaks peace to our soul, and He takes His love and He sheds it abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Do you remember that experience? Remember that happening to you? I'm telling you what today, folks. Things were different. When the Lord saved me, things were different for me. God made a change in me. If you're going around professing salvation and it didn't make a change in you, something's wrong. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I'm telling you, I'm not the same person that I was before the Lord saved me. God saved me from that person and delivered me from some things. And I give Him thanks for that. I thank God today for His love. There's just nothing like it. And when He shed His love abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, then I believe God made it possible for me to love Him and to love people. Don't you believe that? Would we really have any chance at all of being able to do what Jesus told us to do? Would we really be able to love each other the way that He loved us if we had not experienced His love in our heart? There's no way we could. We have to know His love first in order to be able to love one another. And that's exactly what John said. I want you to know something today. I want you to understand this today. If you're here and you're lost, and I pray today that you have a desire to seek the Lord and be saved. But I want you to know today that in your lost condition, and I realize this, that it was this way with me. In our lost condition, we don't love the Lord. The Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us, and we've got to experience that before a person can truly say, I love the Lord. They've got to experience that. They've got to have that experience of salvation where He places that love abroad in their heart. And I'm going to tell you something. When God saved us by His grace, friends, don't ever make any mistake about it. When God saved us by His grace, He didn't give us a little bitty dose of His love. The Bible says He shed His love abroad in our hearts. Amen. By the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, He filled us with His love. We know, John said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Before I was saved, and I've told you before, I was taken to church my whole life. I don't remember not going to church. But I'm going to tell you something. Before I was saved, I didn't have the same feeling towards those people that I did after I was saved. God gives us a love for Him. He gives us a love for His people. He gives us a love for lost humanity. And I want you to understand this today, you that are lost, that this is the reason that we continue to reach out to you with the gospel. This is what has kept Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church going through the years. That's why the lights are still burning in this building today. That's why this congregation is still assembled here today. The reason that we continue to reach out to you is because God placed His love in our heart and He gave us a love for you. And we want to try to reach out. I'll tell you one thing, of all the wonderful things that the love of God does for a person when they come to experience, I'll tell you one thing it never does. It doesn't make anybody selfish. When you get saved, you want other people to have the same thing you've got. And so we continue to reach out to you today to share with you the gospel, because God has placed a love in our heart for you, and we want to see you saved. We certainly want to see you saved, but also because of what Paul wrote also to the Corinthians, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing what's coming upon the lost, we reach out and try to persuade men. When it comes time for me to die, and I'm thankful today, I really am. I'm thankful for love that I have experienced in any way in my life. I'm thankful that I had parents that loved me. I'm thankful that I had siblings that loved me. I'm thankful to have had a wife through the years that's loved me, children that love me. I'm thankful for love that I have experienced in any way. But when it comes time for me to die, none of that would carry me over. None of that would get me to heaven. The only thing that's going to give me safe crossing is that God shed His love abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, that He saved me. And I can die in the love of the Lord and go home. You know, this world is not a world that's filled with love, people. If it was, we wouldn't see the things that we see, would we? If this world was filled with love, if people really loved each other in this world, we wouldn't open the newspaper and read about some of the awful things that people do to each other, would we? We wouldn't read about the little innocent babies that are killed and treated like they're nothing. We wouldn't read about people that, killed their parents like they were nothing. We wouldn't read about people that, you know, cheated each other and swindled each other. And if this world was filled with love, we just wouldn't be experiencing the things that we are. I'll tell you what, everybody that's saved, we're going to a land of love. We're going to a land where people won't do anything but love one another. And I'm thankful today for the love of God. I'm thankful that I know the love of Christ, even though it evades my understanding, even though it completely passes my understanding. I'm glad that I know it, that I know the love of Christ. And my prayer is that you too would know the love of Christ. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. God bless you. I appreciate your attention. Let's have a song, Brother Ronnie.